is given. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 2 weeks ago this evening, I began a four-part sermon series entitled, Stirring Up. 2 weeks ago, I preached on God's gift of covenant. And we learned that God's covenant is completely different than human covenants. For example, when two humans make a covenant with each other, the one who breaks his or her end of the covenant suffers the consequences of his or her unfaithfulness. But the covenant that God has made with us is totally different. You see, even though God is always faithful to his part of the covenant, he was willing to suffer the consequences of our unfaithfulness so that we might be forgiven and live forever in his love. Now, last Wednesday, we learned how God's covenant is a covenant of grace. In other words, God makes his covenant with us even though we do not deserve it. So, if we think that God owes us mercy and love because we're worthy, if we think God owes us mercy and love because we're not as bad as other people, well, we thereby cut ourselves off from his covenant of grace. Therefore, in order for us to benefit from God's covenant of grace, we must acknowledge the sins that God's word exposes in our lives and admit that we deserve nothing but his wrath. Only then will we be in a position to benefit from his covenant of pure grace. In fact, that's why God does all he can to give us hearts that fear his wrath against our sin. Only then will we have hearts that gratefully receive his covenant of pure grace, which is revealed in his Son Jesus and his death on the cross in our place of punishment. Christ's death on the cross for us sinners is at the heart and center of God's covenant of grace. Now, with that understood, tonight's Advent sermon is about empowerment. Simply put, the good news that we are forgiven and have eternal life in God's love because of Jesus and his work for us, that good news gives us the power to live the Christian life. You see, only the power of the gospel can give us the proper motivation to say no to sin and yes to God's will. In fact, what we need to understand is that there are many unbelievers in this world who do their best to avoid sin and do good works. Now, I'm not saying there aren't unbelievers who rejoice in their sin. There are. But you can also find unbelievers who do their best to avoid sin and do good works. Does that make them Christian? No. You see, Scripture teaches that their motivation is all wrong. For instance, some avoid sin and do good works because they fear God's wrath. In other words, they don't obey God because they love him. They obey God because they fear him. In fact, such people long for the day when God will just get off their backs and leave them alone. They do not trust God, nor do they love him. And as a result, some people like this actually stop trying to obey God because they know they will always fall short of pleasing him. So why bother? Simply put, their motivation for obeying God is fear. Fear of his wrath. Let me tell you a story that will illustrate this kind of person. Once, there was a married couple. And the husband was a horrible, demanding brute. He actually abused his wife, both verbally and physically. In fact, he gave her a list of household duties that she needed to perform, and if she fell short on any one of those duties, he would beat her. Therefore, she did her best to perform this list of duties out of fear of her husband. But she did not love him. Now, having said that, there are other people in this world who also avoid sin and do good works, but they do this because they think that God will honor them for their performance. In other words, they obey God because they think that their good works will obligate God to bless them. Such people tend to think that they are better than others who are supposedly more sinful than they are. In fact, their motivation for obeying God is actually selfishness and pride. Let me tell you another story to illustrate this kind of person. Once there was a 14-year-old boy whose father was disabled and could do very little physical work. But the boy really didn't care about his father. The boy only thought about himself. Well, one day, the father asked his son to mow the lawn because the father simply wasn't able to do it. The son then said, "Father, I'll mow the lawn if you give me $50. The father agreed. The son then joyfully mowed the lawn. And while he was mowing the lawn, two people walked by. And while the son was resting, he overheard these two people talking, and one of them said, "Isn't that boy wonderful? See how hard he is working for his father. His father should be proud." After the son heard this comment, he said to himself, "Wow, this is great. Not only am I getting $50 for mowing the lawn, but other people think I'm a wonderful person. You know, it sure pays off doing good things." My friends, we sinners can be just like that wife and that son in those two stories. Unless God's gospel changes our hearts, we either think of God as a hateful dictator, or we think of Him as a person who should reward us for doing good things. But either way, we end up obeying God for all the wrong reasons. Only the good news about Jesus and His work for us can give us the power to obey God for all the right reasons. In other words, the good news that we are forgiven and holy in God's sight because of Jesus, that good news gives us the desire to obey God simply because we love Him. In other words, God's love moves us to avoid sin and do good works because we love Him back. For example, let's go back to that first story about the woman who was married to that horrible husband. After a few years, the horrible husband became sick and he eventually died. His wife, now a widow, eventually met another man and they were married. However, her new husband was totally different. He spoke kind and loving words to her. He brought her gifts. He spent quality time with her. He served her and he helped her around the house. Oh, she was in heaven. Well, after a year of marriage went by, this woman was going through the drawers of her bedroom, and what did she find but the list that her former husband had given her? And as she read through this list of duties, you know what she realized? She realized she was already doing all these things and more for her new husband, but now she was doing them joyfully out of love for him. And how about that other story about the selfish son? Well, one day the son found out why his father was disabled. You see, the son knew that when he was 5 years old, he had been playing with matches one day, even though his father told him not to do it. The son vaguely remembered that his room caught on fire and the smoke led him to a point of unconsciousness, and people told him that someone had rescued him from the room before he died, but he never knew who the person was who had actually saved him. But one day, he had found out. father whom he disobeyed, the father who told him not to play with matches, and he did anyway, that same father risked his own life to save his own son, and as a result, that father ended up being permanently injured in the process. So when the son learned about his father's loving sacrifice for him, his heart changed. And the next time the lawn needed to be mowed, the son did so willingly without pay, out of love for his father. Now, what's the point of those stories? Simply put, the gospel shows us what a wonderful, loving God we have. Now, don't get me wrong, God has given us a list of duties, but unlike that first husband in that story, God does not want us to serve him. No, you see, God's list of duties are actually meant to be a blessing to us. Those lists of duties actually keep us from hurting ourselves and others by our sin. Now, of course, there are some people who refuse to obey God's will for their lives, and they do end up hurting themselves and others. But then, as we learned, there are other people who try their best to obey God's list of rules, but sadly, they have evil motivations for their obedience. Either their motive is fear of God's wrath, or it's selfish pride and an expectation that God owes them one. And you know what? We would be enslaved by the same sinfully sick hearts if God had not given us new life through the gospel message. The gospel message that gives us power to live a new life. In our first reading, we learned that the message of Christ's death for us sinners is actually foolishness to us unless God shows us our need for his sacrificial gift. But when God shows us that we are sinners that deserve only his wrath, then the powerful message of Christ's sacrifice for us transforms our hearts and minds so that we begin to trust God and love him. The good news that we are forgiven and holy in God's sight because of Jesus, this good news empowers us to obey God for all the right reasons. Simply put, we Christians obey God because he loves us, and we love him. Of course, we Christians still have a sinful nature, don't we? That's why we continue to struggle with sinful desires and thoughts that often lead to sinful words and actions. That's why we need to continue to hear God's gospel message that we are forgiven. You see, even though God's words remind us that we have sinned, his words also remind us that we are forgiven. Even though we struggle with sin and fail more times than we can imagine, God points us to the cross where Jesus paid for all those sins and suffered the punishment that we deserve, that we might be forgiven and can live trusting that God loves us and that he has only good planned for us. In fact, this good news of Christ's loving sacrifice for us will strengthen our faith in God and give us the power to obey God out of love for him. We heard about this at the beginning of our second reading. Let me share this with you again. Peter says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. What's Peter teaching us here? He's teaching us that when we choose to sin, either by doing something evil or by refusing to do something good, this actually happens because we have forgotten how much God really loves us and that his plan for us is actually good for us. For example, concerning a Christian who actually begins to rebel against God and His loving plan for our lives? Peter has this to say. He says, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Simply put, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, when we forget that God adopted us as His own in holy baptism, when we fail to hear and read God's Word, when we see no need for the Lord's Supper, when we disconnect ourselves from the power of the gospel, the only result is that we will fail to obey God, or we will obey Him, but we will do it for the wrong reasons. And that's why Jesus speaks these loving words to us in our gospel reading. He says, "If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And how do we remain in Jesus? We remain in Jesus by the power of His gospel, which assures us that we sinners are forgiven, that we are loved by God, and that we have the hope of eternal life in His love. This good news helps us remain in a love relationship with Jesus, and that relationship gives us the power to bear good fruit to the glory of God. With that said, I would like to end this sermon tonight with this powerful gospel message. And here it is. God loves you even though you don't deserve it. Even though you have been unfaithful to your end of the covenant and deserve nothing but God's punishment, He loved you so much that He took the consequences of your rebellion upon Himself so that you might be forgiven and live now and forever as His dearly loved children. Because of Jesus, God's Son, because of His death and resurrection on your behalf, you are now holy in God's sight. That means you do not have to fear His wrath. Instead, you get to live as His dearly loved children, now and for all eternity. And this good news is what gives you the power to say no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for your life, for all the right reasons. You see, even though you can never perfectly obey God this side of heaven, the good news is that God will always be faithful to you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And so trust in Him. Remain in Him. And you will bear much fruit to His glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.